Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio, there are the issues that we all talk about. And you who have the final say. This is your show. It's Kim and Lavoie. Judgment Day.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and Lavoie, 262-796-1400. That's 262-796-1400. Or go to kimandlavoie.com. Kim and Lavoie, they're your best defense.
Now, the Wendy's Big Show.
Welcome in on a Kim and Lavoie Judgment Day. It's the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. Major League Baseball is deciding to be the smartest guy in the room, or maybe it's something that we've all been waiting for and didn't even know. Milwaukee Brewers, a new win total is out, maybe an over-under coming up at 3:30. We'll talk to Kendrick Perkins, the NBA champion, stops by at 4:35. Our radio.com sports NBA insiders here in our Kim Lavoie Judgment Day of the Question coming up at 4 o'clock. With our Wisconsin sports teams, rank them 1 through 3, which would you want to see win a title first? We'll bring that to you at 4 o'clock right here on the Wendy's Big Show. You might be a little bit surprised as to former Badger and Packer running back Gary Ellerson's answer. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is here as well as Gary Ellerson, Leap 36, will join us here soon as well. 28 apiece last night from Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe. Bledsoe does his a little bit later on during the night. They're able to get themselves a win without Giannis, a win and cover, in a 123-111 victory last night over the Sacramento Kings. We talked to Grant Napier, the voice of the Kings, yesterday here on this program, and he thought that they were going to use it a little bit as a barometer, a measuring stick, if you will, Gary, and trying to figure out where they're going to stack up against the league's best. And they had the opportunity to go up against the league's best last night. And for 2.5 quarters without Giannis, the Kings were right there, had a 6-point lead at one point there in the third quarter. They closed the half on a 9-1 run after the Bucks jetted out in that first quarter, up 14 after one period. But Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe closing the deal. Middleton with two big threes there in the fourth quarter, and they ice it up. The question being, can Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe play like they did last night with Giannis in the playoffs? Because it's easier to go and be the guy, be the one that's taking your opportunity each time down the floor when you know you don't have to defer to the best player in the world. But do you believe that they can do that when he is in the lineup come April, May, and June?
You know, it feels like, so they've gone now 5 games without Giannis. I don't have Middleton's numbers in front of me with the 5 games, but it feels like, well, I know one was 51 for sure, and then last night,
Giannis missed against the Wizards.
Right, so I mean, it feels like right now, and I know there was a lot of angst with Middleton getting his contract, and there were a lot of people who were against it. There were a lot of people that were calling our station saying, don't pay him, let him walk. And I just could only imagine right now what this team would look like had they let Middleton walk. Right now, there was a lot of angst about Malcolm Brogdon.
True.
Let him go. And so right now they've got the best record. I mean, what the hell do I know about basketball? I mean, you know, I mean, you let Brogdon go and I don't know what those people who are all upset about that. But we heard our guy yesterday on the radio. He said that Doug Christie said they will miss Brogdon in the playoffs, not necessarily in the regular season, because most certainly not the regular season, because they're on pace to win 70 games. Last time we heard 70 games, that was that team out west with Steph Curry and them.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pretty good basketball team, and now you've got Middleton playing the kind of basketball that you thought that he could play or that you wanted him to play. Bledsoe is playing good basketball. It just seems to be a little different, though, when Middleton and Bledsoe and Giannis are all in the game together. I don't know if they, like, defer to him, to Giannis.
Which is kind of understandable, though, isn't it?
Well, but not even that. You still think it shouldn't happen because, really, Giannis is a triple-double machine. So it's not like Giannis will take all the shots. He's most certainly giving shots away, too, with the assist that he has. So to me, in that case, it is kind of puzzling that Middleton's numbers are maybe not a little bit higher with Giannis because he shares the basketball. But it does feel like, Billy, if they're in trouble, let's say Giannis not going to miss a game, but let's just say Giannis is in foul trouble and got to go sit down for a lengthy period of time, it feels like right now that Middleton and Bledsoe can carry this team.
And that's where the biggest question comes, right? Once he gets cold, if Giannis does go cold, last night in that second quarter, Spark, it was one of those periods in the game where you would see everybody on the floor defer to Giannis, go get us a bucket, get us back on track, because nobody was hitting shots with the last 6 minutes of that second quarter last night. Then into the fourth quarter, they go under the small lineup. They have Erse running mostly at the five, and they're able to run away from the Kings in that game. And they kind of had to go small because Harrison Barnes was shooting the lights out of the building through the first three quarters of last night. But 28 apiece from Middleton and Bledsoe. I don't know if the numbers point-wise is what we're looking at, but the aggressive nature, the when you needed a bucket, they were there and they were the go-to guy. Can they be like that in the playoffs, even with Giannis in the lineup?
I just really question whether or not that's possible. I really do, because the fact of the matter is he's the MVP of the league. He's going to be back-to-back MVP. And when you have greatness, the tendency is for others just to stand around and watch greatness, right? And in order to get out of that mode or that mindset, I think it's going to have to be a deal where, you know, the vets, the head coach, the coaching staff, Giannis himself have to make sure these guys stay involved in the game and stay aggressive on the offensive side of the floor. Sure. And both of those guys can get in ruts where Giannis gets going. So, okay, we're just going to kind of sit over here and watch and see what happens with Giannis. And, you know, if he kicks him into me out here, you know, I'll take the shot. But otherwise, I'm not going to get too aggressive here because, you know, Giannis is our guy. We're just going to ride him until he can't. Then when he goes off the floor, then I'll find my spots to take shots. But when he's on the floor, it doesn't seem like a balanced attack. Now, I don't know if Gary would agree with this or not, but you go back to the big 3 days. Now, granted, there's no MVP on that team, but Glenn, Ray, and Sam, they found their shots amongst the three of them throughout the course of a game. They all got theirs, and there'd be several nights where you'd see all of them, 20, 25, 30 points, somewhere in that area, on a night-in, night-out basis. It's not the same deal with this team, where once you put Giannis in there, normally Bledsoe for sure tends to be that guy that falls to the back. Middleton will still get his 12 to 15 shots somewhere in that area. There'll be nights where Bledsoe has like 6-8 points and just isn't involved at all. Then Giannis goes out, and what happens? Bledsoe gets really aggressive going to the rim and finding those shots.
And sometimes to a fault almost, yeah.
Right, and you hear Bledsoe talk about, you know, the addition that they bring in, and what does he say? Hey, Giannis and I could use another guy to shoot. Right? Because Giannis is going to be at the rim and he's going to be able to kick it out. And now here you come with Eric Bledsoe, who also says, hey, I like getting to the rim too and being able to kick out to another shooter. So if I got somebody else out on the wing that I can dish it to when I'm going to the rim, if I can't get there, that's better for me too. So that tells you a couple different things. One, he still is more comfortable going to the rim. And two, still not as comfortable taking that 3-point shot if he doesn't have to. Even though Budenholzer has been preaching up and down a million times of shoot it, shoot it, shoot it, keep shooting those threes, it feels like this year, especially with Middleton, he's kind of pulled back on that a little bit and let Middleton go back to being kind of who he is, and you've seen Middleton's response to it.
And it also helped last night, too. Let's not forget this second straight 20-point game for Brook Lopez, as him getting going offensively is going to be a key factor for this team going into the playoffs, because he's a dude
threes.
That's always going to take his shot.
At one point, he's hitting 29% from three this year. I mean, that's
he's under 25% for the month of January.
Yes. I mean, that is god-awful. And when you signed him to that deal, I questioned whether or not he'd ever put up a year like he did last year shooting from three. I just wasn't quite sure if it was a career year or not. I questioned it. But clearly, even when he's not hitting the three, the way he helps you defensively on the inside as far as blocking shots, altering shots, doing stuff like that is huge. And the other aspect of Middleton, too, you know, double figures and rebounds last night. Being able to help on the boards and get those rebounds and then get out and push the tempo with that team.
56 points combined last night, 28 apiece from Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe. Bledsoe with 8 assists, along with Middleton with 8 assists as well last night. So they were moving the basketball around to everybody and creating open looks. That's a part of it, too, where you moving without the basketball, Gary, Giannis has gotten better at this year, and they've used him in more sets where he doesn't have to just go downhill straight to the cup,
right,
which we saw a lot of against Toronto.
Yes. You know what? This puzzles me a little bit, you know, but because where are all the doubters at? You know, you people are just, you drive me crazy. When you want to hate on people, you spew your hate. And then when it feels like when guys are doing well, you got nothing to say. I mean, if you like what's going on with the Milwaukee Bucks, then or you didn't like them signing Chris Middleton and Chris Middleton showing you up, or you're impressed with what Middleton and Bledsoe is doing, because you jokers show complain about when they got their money, when they got paid. I mean, although Bledsoe I thought took a little bit of a hometown deal, but I mean I'm not going to bash the money that he got. But you guys also was all over Middleton when they signed him to that contract, and now all of a sudden the guy's playing. Well, I don't hear a boo from you people that was all over this team. Yeah, I mean, they haven't won an NBA championship yet, no, and they're not in the Eastern Conference Finals yet, but this team sure feels like, to me, is better than what it was last year. And it sure looks like to me they've played five games without Giannis, and it sure feels like to me that Middleton, for some strange reason or another, I don't know why, but feels like he's taking that next step. No, is this a big three or big four like they had in Golden State? No, it's not. It's not. But they're ours. And right now, they're the best team in the NBA. Let's talk about it.
Middleton, for the last 6 weeks, since the turn of the decade, has averaged over 22 a night. He's shooting just under, and I mean like 49.1% or something,
awesome.
From three. He's shooting 54% from inside of the two-point arc, and that's where they've also blended into the mold of last year's Spark, right? The conversations we had, I know a lot, in that postseason of, well, he's not going to take his mid-range. He's not going to get into the mid-range shot.
Yep.
They have used other avenues of offense, not only forcing shooting 43s a night.
I think there's going to be a fine line here when you start determining how many threes a game you want Middleton or Bledsoe or anybody else on this team to shoot when you get into the postseason, based on the opponent you're facing and how good Giannis is doing at this point. If you get into a series again where you have a bunch of length, now Philly was that team that we talked about, but now there's talk today that maybe they're going to trade Joel Embiid at some point in the offseason. Who knows?
Right.
But
your own crowd at home. That's not the smartest idea.
Right. But when you, he wasn't shushing him, he says. Shushing himself. That's what it was.
Oh, got it.
But this thing here, when you go up against teams that are really long, and there aren't many of them in the league anymore, but when you go up against those teams and they do slow Giannis down, or like Billy was saying on the Bill Michaels show earlier when he was on, look, if they go to zone and they make you try to shoot over the top of them and essentially try to take Giannis out of it, then you're going to need guys to hit shots. It's just plain and simple. Guys are going to hit shots, but you should have enough of those guys that can hit shots. Middleton should be able to hit that three. Korver, Wesley Matthews, when he gets going, he can hit that three. Now you added another shooter, Marvin Williams, that can come in. Ersan, you've got enough guys that if teams decide to go zone against you, that you should be able to shoot over the top of it.
28 apiece last night, nights like last. Does that give you confidence Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe can play like last night into the postseason with Giannis on the court? They're now 5-0 in games that Giannis does not play. Middleton with a 51 spot the last time Giannis is inactive. We'll see if Giannis is active when the Bucks are back on the floor one game before the NBA All-Star break this weekend comes up tomorrow night in Indiana against the Indiana Pacers. 414-799-1250. Brooke Lopez had an answer to why they play well without Giannis. We'll bring that to you next. But first, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer has the gift that you should be calling or just going online right away for Valentine's Day. Guys, it's 3 days away.
Is it 3 days?
It's 3 days away.
It's Friday. Today's Tuesday.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Valentine's Day is away. Friday. And when it comes to flowers for your special person, make it Lockers Florist. Not some out-of-town online marketer where you don't know what eventually will get to your special person. In my case, it was dead flowers. Lockers is locally owned, and since 1911, they've been creating joy in people's hearts with beautiful floral arrangements. Visit LockersFlorist.com right now and find the right Valentine's arrangement to light her eyes up. And I promise you, it will. From the Modern Love Assortment, their Love You Forever option featuring chocolate-covered strawberries and a plush teddy bear. Lucky in love, or let the Lockers floral experts customize an arrangement that says, I love you now and always. Visit LockersFlorist.com for details or call them today at 276-7673. 276-7673 to ensure timely delivery or pickup, or you can have it delivered before Friday to her office. Imagine the envy of her coworkers who want to know where those beautiful dozen roses came from. That's very true. Lockers Florist, of course. Call them now. 276-7673, 276-7673, or visit them at LockersFlorist.com.
Can Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe carry a load with Giannis still on the floor come playoff time? We'll ask our Radio.com Sports NBA insider Kendrick Perkins when he joins us at 4:30 tonight, sponsored by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. That comes up at 4:30 right now. Brooke Lopez has a way and an answer as to why they play so well without Giannis on the floor. That's next. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
It's all about who has the best team. We definitely feel like we got one of the best players out there, and he wasn't out there tonight, but we still think we have one of the best teams in the league. And teams may think they might be able to, you know, steal one away when he's not out there or other guys, but that's what motivates us, to let them know that we're still a complete team. We're an even better team when he's out there, but when he's not out there, we can still hold it down.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, that's Chris Middleton, as to why they have one of the best teams in the league. That's one of the main reasons why he believes that they're able to play as well as they do without Giannis, as well as they did last night without the reigning defending MVP of the league, as he welcomed in his son Liam Charles at Tetacumbo yesterday, as his girlfriend Mariah gave birth yesterday to the young baby boy. A lot of the players had some advice for Giannis. Maybe we'll bring you that a little bit later on here today. But can Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe play like they did last night with Giannis on the floor in the playoffs? 414-799-1250. Brooke Lopez had a pretty obvious and open answer as to why he believes they play so well without the Greek Freak.
It's a team sport. We're a great team. You know, we have a lot of great players on our team, and whoever's on the court's always ready to step up at a moment's notice. You know, obviously Chris did his thing, Blood did his thing, but you know, Ersan was big for us tonight. Sterling came out, started the second half, was great for us, and you know, you could go down the line. You know, again, we're a great team, we're a deep team.
That's Splash Mountain last night after his second consecutive 20-point game, going along with 28 apiece from Bledsoe and Middleton. Leroy Butler leaping into the studios.
Two things: is this Devontae Adams all over again, or it's just the reason why Giannis is not going to win MVP because they're 5-0 without him? This just bring in the LeBron James people. It just does. Hey, man, this team is so good, they're good without their guy. You're taking out 30 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. You just, it's gone. And these guys, now you could say Budden is doing a great coaching job because he had to run a different system when you're stars out. But I would say to those people, the reason why he is a MVP, because he made everyone run around him better.
And before you get to the number two, because I don't want you to forget it, Mike Budenholzer caught a lot of slack as well in last year's playoffs for not making adjustments, right? Not adjusting to the way Toronto was playing. Last night, he made the adjustment we need to go small because Harrison Barnes is lighting us up from three.
Great point.
In the whole fourth quarter, they went small, and they bullied Sacramento defensively. Sorry, go ahead.
See, now the small ball thing, or small like Houston is doing, it seemed like the progressive. And it seems like the establishment is, nope, you got to do it the way the Bucks are doing it. You got to have a 5 who's 7 foot. You got to have a 4 who's 6'9 or taller. But really, as Gary used to talk about, you just roll the ball out there, let them figure it out. And I think that's, you got to be able to go to that when the team that's won 15 straight, Toronto, without the guy who they won it with, because he's with the Clippers, you know, they find a way to win. You got to have it. Hey, at any time, you got to go small. Just put all shooters out there and just see what happens. Just try it for like a few minutes. If it doesn't, you can always go back to Giannis.
And imagine Toronto right now, right, Sparky? I mean, they're sitting here with a 15-game winning streak, and they've gained one game in the standings because the Bucks have won 14 of their last 15.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, but if you're Toronto, you're feeling pretty good about yourself looking ahead to the playoffs. If you could stay healthy, because, again, they've had success against this Bucks roster as well in years past. Now, there is no Kawhi Leonard, but Siakam is playing at a pretty high level himself right now. And then Van Vliet, he's been playing well this year, too. Remember, last year, when they took on Toronto in the playoffs, he's the one that killed him. He killed him. He was ice cold for like the last month leading into that series and caught fire in that series, and it was curtains on the Bucks. So Toronto's going to present probably an issue for them if they get him into a series, but so will Boston. Boston will present some type of an issue, I'm sure, in a series too. It's not good. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I don't think they're going to cakewalk through the entire Eastern Conference playoffs. I think teams are going to beat them. Maybe not in the first round. They'll probably sweep first round. But once you get through that, they may lose a game or two in a couple of these series on their way to the NBA Finals.
Well, they lost game one against the Celtics last year, and we all know how that response was. Kyrie's going to take this thing over, and they're just not going to be able to get past. Ronnie says, yes, they can. Giannis driving force. That helps everybody play better. They are going to get into their roles, this team, very deep, and Giannis is not going to let Middleton or Bledsoe fall off come playoff time. This is special. Go Bucks. How much, I don't want to say pressure on it, or how much of a responsibility, Gary, as the number one player on the floor, for Giannis to say if he feels like Bledsoe and Middleton are taking that back seat, they're sitting back and not necessarily, they're letting him do all the work. Is there a responsibility on him to say, guys, I do need you to be here each time out?
Well, I think they know that. I mean, I think they do know that. I don't think he needs to say that. But when it's their time to hit it, they got to hit that shot. I mean, if they're walling him off and he kicks it because that's what's going to happen, then they need to make those shots. I mean, they're going to get their shots with Giannis, because most teams are going to come in and say, we're stopping Giannis. And so they've got to step up and make them. I just think it's just, to me, a maturity of how this team really has grown since, you know, they put this team together. I think guys just had to get comfortable within their roles. And I think that's what you're seeing right now with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Let's go to the north side. Nick's up on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Nick, can Bledsoe and Middleton play this way with Giannis in the playoffs?
I absolutely believe Chris Middleton can. Bledsoe, on the other hand, I don't know, man. Gary asked for where the naysayers at. I'm a naysayer.
Like, let me hear you.
I've been trying to get off his case, because he has been playing very well this season. I will give him that. But, man, I seen two pretty much unknown guys back-to-back years, Terry Rozier and Fred VanVleet, outplay him. It's just tough, because him in the series, I mean, yeah, he could play well against, like, Detroit. Detroit is Detroit. But when it's time, third option to give me 17, 18 points a game in the playoffs, is
Bledsoe.
Eric Bledsoe going to do that?
Well, he's got to.
Yeah, is Eric Bledsoe going
to
do that?
Yep, he's got to.
I don't know.
Well, what's your other option? If Bledsoe doesn't do it, then who is it? George Hill?
We're going to lose.
You're going to lose.
That's the option. I'm sorry. Unless.
Well, you Bucks fans kill me.
45-50 a game.
Appreciate the call, Nick. Or, I mean, I don't see it being Dante's time to go out there and average 12 a night. Or if it is George Hill going out there and getting you 10, 12 a night. Now, we haven't seen George Hill for a while here with this hamstring and nagging groin a little bit that he's been working with. But there is that sentiment that it will still be Bledsoe faltering in that playoffs. Him averaging over 17 and a half a night here in February isn't going to do much until it's averaging 17 and a half in March or into May, right?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, that's really what it all comes down to. We've talked about this in the past as far as, look, if this 70-win thing isn't going to be a thing, it's not going to happen. If something happens between now and the end of the year, in the last two or three games, they can't get 70, it's over. Just rest Giannis and let Bledsoe and Milton get into a flow of getting that confidence up, scoring high rates and so forth, and then hope that carries over into the first round of games, and then maybe scale back Giannis' minutes a little bit in the first round too, and let Bledsoe and Middleton carry the water that whole first series, and hope that aggressiveness and that confidence carries to them through the playoffs.
Leroy, you said these Bucks fans kill you.
They do.
Why is that?
They just have that mentality that they're never going to win anything. You got the best team in the league. and you got to find something to just be kind of go against the grain. I know we can forecast what happened last year, but I really believe in this team, make adjustments. And we just talked about that. I'm not worried about how guys are going to play. They're all pros. I'm not worried about that. I just want them to win this series. I don't care how they just win four games, get to the finals. When they get to the finals, this team still has proven they're the best at every category. I think the young kids like analytics. Do they like that? I mean, do
no,
they
for
like,
sure. Yeah, we like numbers.
And the old people like us, we like eye tests. They're winning in everything. I mean, there's no negatives, but we try to find something. He's already just said they're going to lose. I mean, we haven't even gotten to the All-Star game yet in Chicago where it's going to be 1 degrees. We haven't even gotten there. I mean, so my thing is, it's, some of the fans, it's just a head scratcher. You got to grow the base, Bucks fans. And that is a topic we really need to do. We should have more hardcore Bucks fans to get into the everything about it, to grow it, make it bigger. And because people get upset when we don't talk Bucks, we talk Bucks, then it's quiet. Here's your opportunity.
Well, here's Tech. He says, my problem with Middleton and Bledsoe is they disappear like Casper the Ghost in the playoffs, but play like rock stars in the regular season. Regular season don't mean...
It does mean something. You're going to have home court throughout. That's what... I mean, they dominate at home. I mean, look at the record.
They really do, and they've been dominant at home and on the road. They've now 5-0 without Giannis in
don't
the lineup.
Don't even say stats no more. They don't care about that.
Well, I mean, I'll drop a couple more on you quickly if I can. 56.
Drop them more.
56 combined.
This sounds so good.
Yeah, this does sound good. 56 combined between Bledsoe and Middleton last night without Giannis. Last time they played together, a combined 85. So the numbers are there, and the production is there as well. Just will it be there in the playoffs? We'll bring this back coming up at 5
o'clock.
They do
know that one guy was all defense. They do know that one guy was an all-star.
Yes.
These are not scrubs.
Two-time All-Star.
Stop that.
Yeah, two-time
Please
All-Star.
Please stop that. Two-time
no doubt about
All-Star
it.
And a guy that locks down defense. Stop
and there's that. One guy on the defensive side of the football for the Green Bay Packers that did his job, according to our own Ryan Wood. But everybody else on that defensive line, maybe the biggest problem that the Green Bay Packers have to deal with going into 2020, we'll look at what our Ryan Wood said was the biggest issue on the defense for the Green Bay Packers coming up next. But first, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Young Express.
29 years they've been in business, and for 29 years, they just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's not stopping. They're expanding yet again, and they're looking to increase their independent contractor base, especially with local drivers. We're talking about becoming a successful transporter of expedited freight. What does that mean? That means you go from point A to point B. Pick stuff up, go to point B, drop stuff off. It's just really that simple. Local drivers stay within 250 miles of Milwaukee. They do short runs. You don't have to worry about driving 15 straight hours like the over-the-road guys. Plus, you get to go home every night, right? Tuck your kids in, give your wife a kiss, whatever the case may be. Sleep in your own bed. And it's 99% no-touch freight. And if you're a small dude like me, you got to love that, right? No manual loading or unloading.
Or a big dude like me. I'm not trying to lift.
Right. You just got to drive. Less sweating for big dudes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You must have your own cargo van or sprinter van or the means to purchase one. And then Young Express will provide you all the training necessary for you to become a successful transporter of expedited freight. If you've ever thought about becoming your own boss, now is the time. Maybe it's time to join the Young Express team. Looking for full-time independent contractors, especially local drivers, join them today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them.
414-799-1250. Is the D-line the biggest need for the Packers in a 2020? Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on a Kim and LaVoy Judgment Day, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here, Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back, and Leroy Butler, Leap 36 here with Milwaukee's preferred personal injury attorneys, Carlson, Blau, and Clemens. Get the injury settlement you deserve at 414-342-1000. Our own Ryan Wood going through a 10-part piece, going grading the biggest needs for the Green Bay Packers going into 2020, and where could they improve? Where do they need to improve? Sparky, you were pretty adamant that the defense was going to get run over in San Francisco, and we don't have to rehash exactly how bad that was, as Ryan also did in the bad part of the issue. But in the good areas of the defensive line work, part of the 10-part series that Ryan is going through here, it all centered around the good play of Za'Darius Smith inside, and obviously the emergence of Kenny Clark. But he seems to believe that possibly the biggest need for the Packers defensively is going to be at the first level of that defense, maybe not at middle linebacker like so many thought.
Yeah, and I love me some Ryan Wood, don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying they
not
don't
as much
need...
as Gary. Those are boys.
That's correct. But I don't disagree that they need a couple of defensive linemen. We've been talking about this. And, you know, in that piece that he wrote, he talks about they need pass rush from those Don linemen. And I look at it more of the fact of I want somebody to help stop the run. That's what I want. I want big guys that could take some of those offensive linemen off of those middle linebackers so they can flow to the ball and make the tackles and get into the backfield and make tackles. That's what I want. I want some road graders up front that can eat up a couple of blocks like Gilbert Brown. That's what I'm looking for. And with all due respect to Lowry and Lancaster, Montrevious Adams hasn't done anything. I mean, they just aren't impact players. And furthermore, I don't even know if they're even above average players. I mean, maybe Lowry's average, maybe, depending on what you use to grade out defensive linemen at his position in the 3-4 defense. But I find it hard to believe he's above average at this point. So that is obviously an issue outside of Kenny Clark. And then you have to determine how much you want to pay Kenny Clark, being the only guy up there doing anything. But you don't have a single middle linebacker currently if Blake Martinez leaves. You don't have one. I mean, you can talk about Aaron Burks, but he hasn't been anything. I mean, Baby Tausch has been as effective as he's been in this defense to this point, and he doesn't even play. So they need middle linebackers. They don't need one. They need two. Can you get by another season with Lowry, Lancaster, and somebody from the draft or a couple of guys from the draft? I think you can. But you need some type of impact player at linebacker more than you need an impact player on the defensive line, I think.
Gary, I was pretty adamant that the opportunity to run the football against this team was whenever B.J. Goodson was on the field, but it was also whenever Tyler Lancaster was on the field, because that's when they were sitting in base defense. And when Ryan gets into the defensive side of the football in this piece, a lot of what he's putting the pressure on was the fact of Montrevious Adams just being so bad that you weren't able to put him on the field in those situations. He never played more than 14% of the snaps. He played, this one just stood out to me really badly, 31 snaps in the final six games at defensive tackle. That's a third-round pick that had no sacks, no quarterback pressures in his third season, no quarterback hits from Montrevious Adams. Do you believe maybe the biggest need defensively is the D-line?
You know what? We initially thought it was linebacker, and they do need some linebackers. But if you really think about how football works, the D-line cover ups for the backers.
Right. Set them up.
If you can't get a defensive lineman drawing double teams, linebackers are going to get ate up all day long. And what ends up happening is those guys get to the second level, thus your linebacker making tackles 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yards down the field, because the offensive linemen are getting up to them in the next level. We saw, though, that we know that the Packers need defensive linemen. There could be a case made that they need both. They need defensive linemen, sure, and an inside backer. But if you look at how football works in conjunction, defensive line in conjunction with the linebackers, the defensive line is first and then the linebacker. So you would try to fix the defensive line first before you fix the linebacker spot, if you're saying that they're getting to the next level on your linebacker.
And there's a lot of opportunities that you're going to have to solve the defensive line opportunity, because Jacksonville is going to ultimately cut Marcell Dareus because they're not going to pay him $20 million for what he was able to do this year. There's big dudes that are going to be available up front, and maybe that's going to be a quicker fix in free agency, that maybe Sheldon Richardson, who's going to be most likely available, probably cut from Cleveland. There's going to be guys that fit that billing, but is that going to be more cost effective maybe than the inside linebacker position that's a little bit less plentiful?
By no means is I'm saying that Blake Martinez is Patrick Willis or Trevathion, or,
sure,
you know, but I think he's better than what we're seeing. That I do know. And why he's not making more impactful tackles, because I really haven't looked at that film that way. But one of the reasons why he's not being a little bit more impactful and making tackles behind the line of scrimmage or tackles at the line of scrimmage is because linemen are getting up on him too quick.
And Pro Football Focus going through all of who they believe teams should target, who they believe teams will let go. They had the Packers with the guys that they should target as A.J. Green, Greg Olsen, and Nick Kwiatkowski, the secondary linebacker for the Chicago Bears, number 44, that plays alongside those guys.
They've also got Murray falling to the Packers in the mock draft, too. And if he falls to the Packers at linebacker in the mock draft, now you've got a stud linebacker inside.
But if you look at Chicago, the Bears, we do know they got a good front.
Mm-hmm, sure. Right.
Defensive line.
Yeah.
And it makes those linebackers look good.
And part of the reason why Roquan Smith didn't play so well was because Akeem Hicks was missing there for 9 games.
Right. As soon as they got him back, guess what happened? Roquan started playing well. Then he got hurt. But still, yes, no doubt about those things coincide with one another.
So which is exactly the biggest need for the Green Bay Packers defensively? Is it linebacker or is it going to be D-line? 414-799-1250. Which one do you think is probably easier to fix free agency-wise instead of the draft, Spark?
Free agency-wise, defensive line. You can get big fat guys to play on the defensive line that can do something for you. We looked at that inside linebackers list. There aren't a bunch of guys out there that you look at that can be impact players. And Blake Martinez, based on everything we've seen, is going to get overpaid. Like, way overpaid based on everything. Now, do you want to overpay for Blake Martinez? Because I don't. I really don't. But the position that you find yourself in as an organization right now is, okay, so if we don't pay Blake Martinez, are we willing to suffer through having a possible couple of rookies or third-tier linebackers in there for a year or two until the rookies get their legs underneath them and understand this defense? Because we've seen it before. Guys struggle in this defense until they pick it up and learn this defense. Now, I don't know how difficult the defense is to learn for a middle linebacker versus, say, a defensive end versus, say, a safety or cornerback, but I would have to imagine the middle linebacker has a lot going on because he's the one pretty much controlling the defense and calling the plays, Gary.
No, you're right. I mean, and if you talk to anybody around in Green Bay, they told you that Blake Martinez can set the defense.
Correct.
And make the
no
call.
Doubt, yeah.
Same thing that you say about A.J. Huck.
We know that.
Yep.
And so that's a plus. Now, if you can get your front better than what it was, you just got to figure out how much money you want to pay him. You're right. He's out there. He's going to be in the open market. They just got to go in and figure out, okay, D-line, linebacker, how much money we want to divvy out
Let
in
me
those
ask you
two
this.
Positions.
How important, because in the 3-4 defense, we always talk about outside linebackers or your pass rushers, got to have them. Okay, well, they got them. After that, in importance to this defense, where's middle linebacker?
Well, I think right now they need a defensive line more than they need inside.
No, I'm not asking that. Sorry. Rephrase. Okay. Just in general terms of a 3-4 defense, just give me ranking of most important players where you
probably
have to have really
it's
good
probably
players.
Probably Darius and Preston.
Outside linebackers are the most important. Then after that, is it middle linebacker?
And then I think then you
or is
start,
it safety?
Then, no, I think you got to go with your defensive line. Because you got to be strong in the middle. So it starts right in the middle.
Right.
So championship defenses are built in the middle, meaning that your nose, your backer, and your safety. If you can have all three of those guys in the Pro Bowl, that means you probably got a number one ranking defense.
And it always helped when you had a big number 90 sitting right there in the middle to allow the edges of Clay Matthews and, I mean, whoever it was put on the other side. You can say Zombo, Perry, whatever. When B.J. Raji was doing his thing in the middle of the defense, anchoring that thing down, along with a Howard Green or whoever it was alongside of him, you have big dudes around where you can allow those guys to go more one-on-one matchups. Leroy, for you, is D-line going to be the biggest need for the Packers defensively going into 2020?
Nah.
Still believe it's linebacker?
Yeah. That's number one. I mean, assuming Mason Crosby, I know that's not the topic, but
no, Mason Crosby's locked in. He's going to be there.
Because kicking was atrocious last year. So some team's going to make him one of the highest paid. So moving at that, it has to be – because you've already said that in some uncertain terms, you don't want Blake Martinez back. But how do you replace the production? And for the people who said all of his tackles are down the field, it's true. But think about this. If he doesn't make them, a lot of those plays are touchdowns or longer plays.
Yeah, because you don't know how many of those Savage is making.
And then he never really had a, like me and Gary has, He's never had somebody, or me and Sparky, or me and you. He's never had somebody next to him he can grow with. That was supposed to be the secret agent, but he got hurt. He went to Jacksonville, Jake Ryan. He doesn't have that. Oren Burks was supposed to be that guy. So now, to keep it 100, they need two of them to play that Nichols thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if they really like Raven Green, fine. But to me, they got to figure out two things, Baby Tausch. Where would a rookie fit best? On the line or a linebacker? Once you make that determination, then you can say, well, in the draft, we'll concentrate on getting the draft of a middle linebacker high, put him in the middle like the kid, the Bush type,
mm-hmm.
you know. Otherwise, you got to go to free agency and get the young man who hit Davante Adams.
Danny Trevathan,
yeah. Yeah, you got to just pay one of those nasty guys like that. Now, if you keep him and Blake, somebody like that, now you can grow. But I think that's a big gap.
And I'm interested to see, just because they bring Blake Martinez back and whatever that number is going to be, projected they're going to have around $23 million to play with. They cut Jimmy Graham, they'll have over 30. They bring Blake Martinez back. Still, I don't think that closes the book on Sparky's guy, Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma, who's number one, two linebackers going in the draft. Or if Patrick Queen somehow falls to them from LSU,
he'll be
that's another big-time backer who's going to play physically and can maybe cover a little bit better than Blake doesn't cover him up in those spots.
Y'all going where projections are?
Just looking of where the guys could be sitting at. So I think either of those guys fall inside the 20s, Gutekunst is going to go get them. I don't see them drafting at 30 very much. All of the ways that I've looked, I don't know that they drafted 30.
Talking to people, defense isn't a need. It's just a want. The need is another weapon for Aaron Rodgers. It just seemed like – but if you – look at that San Francisco. I'm assuming you'll play them again
in
the playoffs. You got to stop the run.
And you're arguably going to play them in the first week of the season?
You got to stop the run. You just have to. If I was putting that together for the NFL, that would definitely be my first game.
Thursday Night Football.
That would be my, and it'll be marketed. And I know people want to see Mahomes, but I'll put him on Monday night. You know, maybe the replay of the, you know, of a championship or some playoff game. I would play maybe them in the Ravens if they play, put them on Monday night. But that Thursday game should be San Francisco and Green Bay.
Oh, no. See, I have a way better idea for it, how to make money.
Okay, well, hold on to that.
It's going
to
be San Francisco, Seattle, the second leg of the doubleheader on the late game on Monday night. And
so who would be your first game to kick it off?
Oh, Kansas City, Baltimore.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I thought about it. I was pretty interested.
But I'm always trying to figure out a way for the Packers to get in there.
Sure. Or the opening night that I would really like is if Tom Brady does do what he should do and go play for the Las Vegas Raiders, then it's Mahomes against Brady, Raiders against Chiefs, one of the oldest rivalries
Brady
in all of football.
Brady got too much integrity to do that.
I think
he's going to stay where he is. But if it was me.
That's sweet.
If it was me, I would cut Cousins and let him keep that money. It's guaranteed anyway. I would move him. I would bring in Brady for 3 years in Minnesota. They're ready to go.
Huh?
And just give Brady what he wants.
It's a great idea.
That owner got all the money you can print.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
We just take a loss.
I haven't heard anybody else even suggest it.
That's why I hit the hub button.
Put him in Minnesota. Wow. Indoors.
Yeah.
That's true.
Throw all you want. And let's compete. Because they got a defense. Zimmer brought in
Capers. Got offensive weapons.
And Kubiak is the coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a senior guy that wouldn't get in Brady's way. He'd be like, hey, man, listen, we're going to run this system.
Right.
Kind of a modified West Coast type short passes, which who throws more short passes than anybody? Tom Brady.
They can't protect to save their
well,
lives.
That's when you go out
there
and draft and bring in guys for that. But you got to get the quarterback first.
The place that protects better than, I was going to say something that might got me fined. Steve's boys over there at the Indianapolis Colts. That's the team that Tom Brady needs to go to. And they can go grab CeeDee Lamb. That makes a lot of sense.
I like that, too.
Trell's on the north side. Trell, is defensive line actually the biggest need for the Packers defensively?
No, defensively is inside linebacker. I'm so sick of us overpassing the inside linebackers.
Yep.
3-4 defense. This is a linebacker defense. And we always focus on the outside backers and never address the inside backers like it's just a given that we don't need it. We definitely need an athlete, McKinney or either Queen. We need to target one of those guys in the draft. And I think we also need to sign like a Littleton. We need to overmake that inside linebacker, because it's true, Blake Martinez does make tackles down the field, and that's solid and that's good. But we need a linebacker who's athletic enough to raise the gap, who goes in there and disrupts plays. We haven't had a guy in the inside linebacker position since, what, Bernardo Harris or what was the guy named? Desmond Bishop type of linebacker.
Big 55,
yeah.
He wasn't even an all-world linebacker, but he was better than what we've seen.
Serviceable. Yes.
Well, it,
but see, like Terrell, I wanted Morrison back. You remember him?
Antonio Morrison, yeah.
He was just a thumper, just running there, just break it up. And Martinez, I was fine with him, but I don't think they could.
Well, and part of the reason why, and thanks, T, I think part of the reason why Desmond Bishop was so effective was because when you talk about having somebody next to you, he had A.J. Hawk, who was not going to mess up. He was going to be able to cover up when Bishop went out and took the shot, when he went out and plugged the gap maybe a little bit too early, and you had somebody over there that you knew was going to cover you up.
The gold standard is when you have Ballman and Patrick Willis together.
Well, true.
And then you had, you know, Ray Lewis and anybody. But and Derrick Brooks and them, when they had all those guys. Remember, Gary, remember Hardy Nickerson?
Oh, yeah.
They played at Tampa, too. It was hard, but Brett Favre used to break them down like a shotgun. Throw that check down on them so much, they were tired of tackling Dorsey in the open field. They kept coming up. Then you hit them deep with that Chimura. Then they're tired. Then you hit them Robert Brooks. So it was like a three-stage thing. But they guys were smart. That's what you need.
I'm still cued in on at some point in this draft. They need to go out and try to grab Thaddeus Moss. That's all I care about in the fourth or fifth
round. I'm all right with that.
Somebody needs to go and pair with my man Jay Sternberger and get another 1-2 punch for young tight ends that can grow together. We want to talk about offense or defensive inside linebackers growing together. That's another important position in this offense that you could grow together with some youth and also complement each other with some speed and just pure pass catching ability.
Here's what we do know. If you don't have a guy up front taking up 2-3 blockers, that linebacker ain't going to do diddly squat back there.
And that's not Kenny Clark's game.
That's the problem. You can have the best linebacker in the world, but if you don't have Holy Nada, if you don't have Tony Siragusa in front of Ray Lewis going to be good anyway, but he ain't going to be as good as he was with Holy Nada.
Don't use Ray Lewis.
And with Siragusa in front of him. Those guys took a lot of pressure. And I heard Ray Lewis talk about this, I think, at the event here over the weekend. He goes, you know what? God blessed me with two guys, and they came back-to-back.
Big time.
I think at first it was Siragusa was first. He says, thank God that the Ravens knew that.
Kept
and they
clean.
Went out and got Holy Nada after that. He goes, it kept me clean all day long.
Yeah.
He goes, it kept me off my back. He goes, I was able to run and free and do things that I needed to do. And that's what the Packers don't have up front. They don't have that kind of guy who's going to command that kind of attention for your linebackers, like Leroy just said, to stay clean. No dirt on his back.
You're talking about the 350-pounders, not maybe the 300-pounder that's going to rush the passer more like Kenny Clark, right?
Yeah, well, not even that. But I you need guys to take up blockers as well, and they don't have that.
Well, my man Andrew Billings would fit that bill.
I mean,
350 pounds of beef.
Lowry, nice. They gave him a big contract.
Sure.
Well, not a big contract, but they gave him a nice contract.
He's serviceable.
But he feels more like, to me, an end in the 3-4, where he's not going to be the two-gap, two-block guy.
Well, the Lancasters and the Montrevious Adams, they got to move past that.
That's where they faltered.
Well, see, here's the last guy they had like that in that defense, and they let go. What's that guy named Steve? He went to Philadelphia. Jenkins.
Colin Jenkins.
And you had Jenkins. He's amazing.
Right. Mm-hmm. You had Jenkins long side, though. I believe was that Pickett and
that was Pickett and Raji.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a three-headed monster you had in 2010.
Yeah.
And if you give Kenny Clark another dude that can play
Colin
up there,
Jenkins.
You're ultimately going to not have to
That's
put.
That's what they don't have.
You're not going to have to put Za'Darius Smith in the middle of the defense. We saw Za'Darius lining up inside, thinking, man, that is a sweet move.
Or if they had just bring it on home to Leroy. Yeah. Or if they had a Sean Jones or Santana.
Yeah. Oh, that would be amazing.
True.
That's a straight penetrator. That's better than holding up blocks, but they got.
He still got to count for him.
You got to collapse on it. That's why.
So not necessarily the big monstrous run stuffer fat guy. You're
either
looking
one.
At somebody
either
that's
one.
Able to
you need somebody to be a difference maker.
Keep
they don't
clean.
Have that.
Yeah, they don't have anybody next to Kenny that can be somewhat of a difference.
If they get up on the backer, Santana's making a tackle, or Sean Jones making a tackle.
Well, I got two names for you on the other side, and we'll see if those guys will fit your bill. It's the Wendy's Big Show, looking at the biggest need possibly for the Green Bay Packers into free agency, and how can they solve it defensively before 2020?
Real quick, if people want to get a little video, I put a little video up of us on Twitter. So if they want to see a little video of us on Twitter, how we getting the show started, they can go ahead and look at it.
What? Okay, sounds good.
Who was Gary in the video?
Who was in the video?
Gary and Billy.
I was on the microphone, and then
no one's gonna watch if I'm not in it. You gotta do another one. Don't even post that.
No, we already posted.
Oh, that's deleted. Just rude, man. How can you post something and the star of the show is not in it?
No, I was in it. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
Yo, VIP.
Traditionally, linebackers come from everywhere through the draft. I think it's a little bit, you know, scheme specific. Facing today's offenses can be really difficult from that position because there's so many things you have to do, not only from athletically, but mentally as well. I mean, there's so much on those guys' plate, setting the fronts, communication on the back end, and then making the right decisions, and then having the athleticism to cover backs and tight ends and carry seams. It's difficult. That is a difficult skill set to find. When you have those guys, it does free up your defense to do a lot of different things.
Now, it's Brian Gutekunst addressing the linebacker position as to why maybe they haven't had the difference maker inside linebacker that they've been looking for. Blake Martinez hitting the free agent market here coming up in about 1 month's time as the legal tampering period, one of my favorite parts in pro sports, comes up March 16th. Then March 18th, players can start signing with new teams. Okay, so,
That's when you see all the Instagram models out there trying to get rich. These boys getting all this guaranteed money. These girls gonna be posting them pictures.
Man. No, man. They start posting those pictures when the NBA players hit free agency. That's the guaranteed money. That's the guaranteed
baseball
money.
Baseball had theirs.
Right.
Football coming up.
Right in the middle of spring.
You gotta grab you one, cuz.
Oh, that works out. Okay, I got two unrestricted free agents.
Come
now,
on
these
with
are
it.
Going to be on the higher end pay scale. Number one, soon to be an unrestricted free agent. Mm-hmm. Played with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. Ndamukong Suh.
SD first.
No.
Go to your next guy.
Okay.
Gary, what do you say?
No, I pass on him.
You pass on Ndamukong Suh?
Yeah.
Leroy?
Go to the next guy.
DJ Reader was with the Houston Texans. Big 345-pound guy out of Clemson 2 years ago. Played 75% of the snaps for the Houston Texans this past year. Soon to be a free agent.
I wonder why he's available.
Well, we don't know if they're going to make him an offer or not. I mean, we're not to that point yet. So, yeah, I would say if it's a minimal type deal, $5, $6 million a year, something like that, I'd consider it.
Sheldon Richardson.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a vet.
And that's a guy that was on a one-year contract this past year. You can only imagine that he's going to be signing up for another one-year contract coming into this year, too. A'shaun Robinson. Now, that's an ascending player, but he's had some injury history with the Detroit Lions. Appears that he will hit unrestricted free agency.
Well, he would fit with the Packers. Old regime, if he's been hurt.
Correct.
I would grab guy.
So that'd be a cheap guy again. Because you got to think, they're not going to spend.
The Wilkerson get tight.
Right.
They're
going to spend a ton of money on a defensive lineman. This is going to be something where they can get him for $5 or $6 million for a year. You know, 2 years, $12 million, something like that. I don't see them spending $15, $18 million on a defensive lineman. There's just no way.
414.
Well, I didn't see them spending the money on the Smith brothers either.
Sure.
That was a shock.
Or Adrian Amos.
Yeah, you're right.
Appears Marcell Dareus will be cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars. That saves $20 million in cap space for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That would be a higher price one that you'd have to go after.
What Jacksonville doing right now?
You know what they're doing, Garrett. The one thing, man, you hate to say. You know what they're doing.
Sherman Salah.
They're already young.
They're trying to get better, but they feel like that they got to make a big decision. Is Minshew the guy or the guy you guarantee money to?
Well, that saves, that sells you tickets.
Right. Minshew's the guy. So you got to let – you see some – like overages or whatever.
Overages.
What's the word for that, Steve, for the NBA?
A luxury tax, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to see four or five teams do that. They're just going to cut bait with guys that they owe money to and just go in a different direction.
Well,
there's
owe him,
one they need to do that.
They're going to owe him $20 million. So you can only imagine that he's going to
find that
gone
in the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they, yeah. And they've been trying to do that. They got Ramsey, Fowler, all these guys. They still got Calais Campbell, who I think they may trade. I would love him.
That's a good point, too.
I love him. I would reach out.
But they're letting – it appears they're going to let Ngakoue walk, too, who's one of the premier pass rushers, young guys in pro football. So they're open for business in the Jacksonville Jaguars because it appears that they're already testing the market to get themselves over to London, which
and,
would only
make
sense.
You can go to Miami and get Devontae Parker at wide receiver, then you don't have to draft somebody. I mean, they're going to do all this kind of stuff, but don't be surprised if Adams and Lancaster are back.
I'd be stunned if neither of them, if both of them were gone at the start of the 2020 season, especially starting up camp. That's for sure. No doubt about it. Yeah. Major League Baseball appears that they are on the way to drastic changes to their playoff system, but is it to increase popularity? Do they need to do this? Or are they just being the smartest guy in the room? We'll explain the reported structure into the new MLB postseason and see what we like and if you like it as well. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.